My enemy is not you. My enemy is not the world. My enemy is not where I go and travel and preach and it's resisted. My enemy is ultimately the enemy of self. No one can say, God tempted me, James tells us. But each one, me, you, we're drug away, we're lured, aren't we? We're baited. And that gives birth to sin. And sin gives birth to death. See, that's why I pray that as we leave this place today, I pray that you will be on mission more than ever before. I pray right now that God would bend us. I pray He'll break us. God, I pray that You'll do a work in our hearts that only You can do. God, shatter us. Wreck our lives. Do whatever You need to do, God. Rid us of us. God, do whatever You got to do to bring revival and awakening to our hearts. God, draw a circle around each one of us individually, me at the top of the list, and then revive the person in the circle.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch of This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. We're excited about today's program because here at This Day Ministries, we believe in the sufficiency of God's Word. We are living in perilous days in a challenging culture, but we know the answer is and forever will be Jesus and His Word. There's an old phrase that goes something like this. We live in an ever-changing culture, but we have a never-changing message in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And with that said, let's take our Bibles together right now, and let's turn to Proverbs chapter 30, looking at verse 6, as we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, The High Cost of Tampering with God's Word.
Don't add to His Word today. Isaiah 65, verse 5. Yet they say to each other, don't come too close, or you will defile me. I am holier than you. These people are a stench in my nostrils, an acrid smell that never goes away. You see how God views this? You say, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, I believe in the Old Testament and the New. I'm not going to read Matthew 23. That's your homework assignment for this afternoon, okay? Before you go have some bellyship. Did I lose some of you there on that one? Okay. Before you go to lunch, read Matthew 23. Jesus comes swinging out of the gate. Not at the tax collectors, not at the down and outers, not at the prostitutes. Who's He swinging at? I mean, the Pharisees, right? Man, we got this thing all together. You brood of vipers. You blind guides. In case you're wondering, He's not complimenting them. The outside of your dish is clean, but the inside is filthy. Your whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. Jesus is rebuking. Paul, Galatians 3:1, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has tricked you? You were walking in the truth, and you got led away. You were seduced away from the truth of God's Word. Not only will we be rebuked for tampering with God's Word, but what's the last thing in this text tell us and warn us? And you will be found to be a what? A liar. I asked the question, who got up this morning saying, hey, who wants to get rebuked? I mean, really, who wants to be in God's presence and He refers to you, to me, as a liar? That Hebrew word there gives this definition. To be proved, to be deceptive in what one does or says. Key number 3, write it down. When we deny God's word, our deceit will be exposed. Period. When we deny God's word, our deceit will be exposed. See, here's the irony in this. For those people that are walking in darkness, that's not freedom. That's the deceitfulness of sin, isn't it? Whatever sin you're struggling with today, could be an addiction, could be again an attitude of heart, could be contention in a marriage situation. I don't know what your situation is, but I know this. The deceitfulness of sin is that we think it's going to make everything better. That it's going to dull my pain. It's going to fill my void. But as the old saying goes, sin will take you far greater than you ever wanted to go. And it will keep you far longer than you ever wanted to stay. That's what sin does in our lives. The only one who's really fooled when I sin is me. I'm not fooling anyone else. It's me that gets hoodwinked, that gets duped. That's why God is so serious about sin. He doesn't take it lightly. He's not casual regarding sin. Romans 1:25 is what we're living today in our culture. And it says this, that they've exchanged the truth of God for the lie. That we have the truth of God. We know the truth of God. That it will set us free. We no longer have to walk around in a self-imposed prison. So many people I encounter each and every day are walking around in self-imposed prisons. They're shackled. Oh, hear the word today. Jesus is the greatest chain breaker there is. Amen? He will set you free today. Bring it into the light. Expose it for what it is. See, the enemy knows this. If we bury our sin and keep it hidden, that's where the power resides. But you bring it into the light, whatever your struggle is today, you just bring it into the light. Here's what happens. There's no more power in the enemy because he now knows it's in the light. And when it's in the light, it can no longer have power because the light always overcomes the darkness. It's hard to do though, isn't it? Because the enemy sits there and talks us into nonsense, doesn't he? And he's not a little guy in a red suit with a pitchfork, funny looking eyebrows and a goatee. He literally, as I said earlier, masquerades as a cosmopolitan of light. And here's the deal, church family. If you don't know what's true, how will you know what's false? Every word of God is proven true. Chelsea Clinton recently made this statement that abortion has been good for the economy. Let me just make a statement. If you've ever been involved in that situation, hear me. There is total forgiveness and cleansing and restoration and reconciliation at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ in that situation. I'm talking total, 100%. But when we begin to add and take away from God's Word, we'll begin to make statements like that. Utter insanity is what that is. It's the deceitfulness of sin that so easily besets you and me.
I mean, think about it. All lies originate with the father of all lies. Who's the father of all lies? We know this. Satan. He's only got one card in his toolbox. I just had a funny thought. You guys ever, it was kind of dangerous for a preacher, but I'll say it anyway. You guys ever played Old Maid? No Old Maid players? Okay. Got one young boy. Praise God. We'll play Old Maid after the service, brother. I can remember as a child, we would play that because, well, that's the game we had in the house. And so, but I can remember that the Old Maid was all dinged up and it was like ripped on top. And if you know how to play Old Maid, the whole point is you hold the cards up there, and whatever you do, you don't pick the Old Maid as they hold them up so you can't see them. Well, when it's dinged up and it's ratty and it looks like someone chewed on it, like put it through a threshing machine, it's pretty easy to identify which one is the Old Maid, right? And so, of course, as parents, you don't always want to throw your kids under the bus with games. I mean, most of the time you do, but sometimes you let them win. Amen? Sometimes, right? And so anyway, so we would, of course, pick the one. And there was only one card in the deck for the whole point of the game. See, that's how the enemy works in our lives. He only has one card. It's one card. That's all he plays. Everything he does is based on a lie. Everything. Everything is about twisting and distorting the truth of God's Word. He knows the Word will set you free. Even the demons flee and tremble at the name of Jesus. They know the power. He's got one card in this toolbox. It's called the lie. And we got to be careful, church family. We got to be in the Word. We got to mind the Scriptures. We got to write the Word on the tablet of our hearts. We have to put it around our neck, bind it around our neck so that we'll walk in truth and not error, that we'll walk in wisdom and not foolishness. There's an intentionality here. We have to be pursuing the Word of God. We just don't wake up one morning and, you know, we're filled. We got to run after God. We've got to get into His presence. We've got to be intentional, urgent, desperate, broken. Because if we don't do it, it won't happen. It won't happen. The enemy has too much for you to do tomorrow morning. He's already got your agenda set. Here's what you're going to do. And if you don't intentionally get in God's Word, you will not experience revival. Your family will not experience revival. Your church will not experience revival. Now let's take that to the other extreme. Can you imagine if every person in this building today started running hard after God, hard after His glory, hard after His Word, hard after Him in fervent prayer? Woo! You might have to switch denominations, you know what I mean? John 8:44. Write it down. John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. Write it on the tablet of your heart. Put it on an index card. Put it on your refrigerator. On your mirror in the bathroom. On the dashboard. As long as you're keeping your face on the road. Put it somewhere where you see it all day long. Because when we lie and when we add to God's Word or take away, we are unwittingly subcontractors for Satan. And at the end of the year, he's going to send you a 1099. Appreciate the work. Thanks for helping. Now, we got to be in God's Word. And it's proven to be true. Write these verses down. 1 John 1:10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. I don't know how more plainly that one can get. 1 John 2:4. 1 John 2:4. Whoever says I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. And I alluded to this one earlier, Numbers 32:23. Kind of an easy way to remember that one, right? 32, and then just do the numbers flip-flop, 23. Numbers 32:23. But if you will not do so in context of the preceding verses, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure
your sin will find you out.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
Two closing questions I want to present to you. I've mentioned this on occasion in several messages, because God has really challenged me with these two questions, and I want to challenge you today. I pray you're encouraged. I pray you're uplifted. But I pray you're challenged today. Number one, do the people around me see godly fruit in my life that gives evidence that I am both in the Word and that the Word is in me? Do the people around me see godly fruit? You remember we talked about discipleship, amen? A discipleship is about abiding in Christ, remaining in Him, and as we remain in Him, we bear much fruit, is what the Word says. Do people around us see godly fruit in our lives that gives evidence that we are both in the Word and the Word is in us? Number two, am I applying God's Word to my own life? And am I therefore being conformed to God's Word as I am growing in Christ's likeness as I daily crucify my flesh? My enemy is not you. My enemy is not the world. My enemy is not where I go and travel and preach and it's resisted. My enemy is ultimately the enemy of self. No one can say, God tempted me, James tells us. But each one, me, you, we're drug away, we're lured, aren't we? We're baited. And that gives birth to sin. And sin gives birth to death. See, that's why I pray that as we leave this place today, I pray that you will be on mission more than ever before. I pray right now that God would bend us. I pray He'll break us. God, I pray that You'll do a work in our hearts that only You can do. God, shatter us. Wreck our lives. Do whatever You need to do, God. Rid us of us. God, do whatever You got to do to bring revival and awakening to our hearts. God, draw a circle around each one of us individually, me at the top of the list, and then revive the person in the circle. I used to crave the things of the world. And I got a taste of it. And I began to realize that the car and the house and the bank account and the title and all of that stuff that seems so important is utterly not important. That true joy, true contentment, true peace is found at the foot of the cross. That God will take your mess today and make a message. That God will take the test that you're going through today, the test that perhaps you're here today and you're saying, why? God, why are You allowing this? I've asked that question 1,000 times. God, I've laid everything on the altar and this is how You repay me. They're momentary light afflictions that are working out an eternal weight of glory behind the scenes. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. Do not grow weary while doing good, for if you do not grow weary, you will reap a great harvest if you do not lose heart. Oh, stand fast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing confidently that the labor for Him is never in vain. And maybe you're being tested right now. You don't understand why the marriage is falling apart. You don't understand why the children aren't behaving. You don't understand why you're going through financial collapse. I know this, that when you press into Jesus, He will take that mess that you are in and truly turn it into a message for His glory. But we got to be determined and intentional and broken. And we got to be a part of a group of people that will say, if none go with me, still I'm following Jesus. That will be those people that are determined on the front end. And it reminds me as I close, as this author from Rwanda penned this plea. He was forced to renounce Christ or face death. He refused. And according to this account, he was executed. But the night before, he wrote this: I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. And my future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small giving, smooth knees, colorless dreams, chintzy giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I now live by presence, lean by faith, love by patience, lift by prayer, labor by power. My pace is set, my gait is fast. My goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions few. My guide, capital G, reliable. My mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until heaven returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until He comes. And when He comes to get His own, He will have no problem recognizing me. Question. Not necessarily do you know Jesus, although that's good. But does Jesus know you? Does Jesus know you? If He returned right now, would He go, that's my boy, that's my girl? Every word of God is proven true. He is a shield to those who trust in Him and refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. Amen. Father, we come before You today. God, our hearts are humbled. God, I pray for every soul in this room today before we leave. As we're just still before You. God, I pray that if there's someone here that does not truly know this Jesus who is called the Christ, God, I pray they would not leave here today without talking to someone. And so, Father, I pray for the soul today that does not truly know You. I pray they would get this straightened out today. Today is the day of salvation. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. We're here today and gone tomorrow. Life is but a vapor. Oh, God, I pray for that soul right now. Word of God, speak. Holy Spirit, speak right now. Draw that soul. God, I think of the one here today who has professed You, but perhaps they're not truly walking with You. I pray for that soul as well, and I pray that they would cling to the cross of Jesus Christ. I pray that they would choose this day who they would serve. I pray they'd understand that by holding on to You and then holding on to self, holding on to the world simultaneously, is simply riding the fence. And Satan owns the fence. Oh God, I pray they would hear from the Word that we're either for Christ or against Him. But we can't be in between. God, speak to that heart today, right now. Do the work only You can do. And God, lastly, for that saint today that is earnestly trying to live for You, God, will You encourage that heart? I pray You'll stiffen that spine. God, I pray they'll be more determined than ever all the days of their life to know Jesus and Him crucified. I pray they'll understand that how can we truly know the power of the resurrection without the fellowship of His sufferings? Oh, God, I pray for this church. Do something mighty here. Use this church to be a beacon and light and hope to this community. I pray that people would come for miles to have an encounter with You, Jesus. God, we love You. Thank You for this sweet time of fellowship. I pray as we've worshiped through song and worshiped through the Word, God, I pray that You've been glorified. I pray that we'll have a song in our heart and a skip in our step as we go to wherever we're going next to spread Your love. And God, we pray this in the mighty and again that matchless name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
Amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. That's info@thisdayministries.org. Or you can write us at This Day Ministries, P.O. Box 7267, Brandon, Florida 33508. That's This Day Ministries, P.O. Box 7267, Brandon, Florida 33508. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.